Nothing I enjoy more than being a walking contradiction.
Now I'm an atheist with a guilty conscience.
You are going to be editing overtime this week.
Welcome to episode 20 of How We Saw It. That's episode 20. This is Mike, and as always, the Buck Rogers to my Duck Dodgers, the Nostradamus to my Miss Cleo, Aaron!
What's up, everybody? Just want to let everybody know that you can listen to us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify. Pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you dig what we're doing, leave us a review. Then come over to our Facebook group and hang out. We release all of our episode info there. And if you'd like to check out my blog where I talk about politics, go to thevoiceinbetween.wordpress.com.
Today's topic is time and futurism, how time affects us as we age, and why we are obsessed with the future. I had a short week this week due to the holiday. I got 8 hours pay for a holiday of New Year's, and of course they don't want to pay anyone over 40 hours this week. So I used my extra day to go get drunk and preach against the for-profit college I am in lifelong debt to. Tweeted at randos on Twitter and yelled at the recruiter on live chat.
You had a busy night.
Then I went to bed.
Yeah, well, you know, when you get that kind of rage on you, you got to sleep it off, I guess.
Right.
And now it's time for everybody's favorite segment, What's Keeping You Sane?
That was hurting my sanity, so what was keeping you sane, Aaron?
That was good. That was good, man. You know, I got one thing this week, and when I say it, I feel like you're probably going to raise an eyebrow. Like, I can't see you, so you're going to have to tell me if you did or not. All right. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. What kept me sane this week was I started playing video games again a little bit more. And the game that kept me sane was WWE 2K19.
Wow.
Did you raise an eyebrow?
I did.
Nice. So here's why, though. I have played pretty much every yearly release that they've done since probably 90, what? What do you think? 96, 97?
Yeah, whenever they'd started it.
Yeah. And I mean, and I had played like other wrestling games prior to that too, like, you know, the WCW stuff. But anyway, we're not talking about any of that. We're talking about this. So within the last, I will say, let's see, we're on 2K19. So I will say pretty much for the last, oh man, all of the 2K games, I can't even off the top of my head, I can't think of how many there are, but they were always bad. Like, they looked okay, somewhat, but they were always disappointing. Like, the gameplay just wasn't fun. And, the stuff that you wanted, or at least I wanted in a game like that, like story mode and the create a character stuff, it was all kind of lacking as soon as 2K started doing it. So I wasn't super, like, confident about how 2K19 was going to turn out. Mm-hmm. And so I installed it and I booted it up and... first thing I did was make my character. You know, that's my thing. Like, I spent like an entire Saturday on that. Got it all down, did the entrance, the moves, the whole nine yards. Did one match, and then immediately found 10 things I needed to change. So I went back and changed all that stuff. I start up the game, and I'm like, damn, this looks really good compared to other years. This looks fantastic. Like, they're not all perfect. Like, not every face map is perfect, but in terms of like just how they look, like their bodies look, like it's believable. Like, you watch them walk and move and you're like, wow. Like, the cutscenes especially are fantastic. Like, all the entrances are really, really well done. And I noticed that I wasn't skipping the entrances. I was watching them. I'm like, all right, so I'm gonna try out the story mode. And I tried out the story mode. I got hooked in right away. Like, you have a character, you make your character, but you have a name, but they have like a predetermined like wrestler name for you or whatever, but it doesn't matter. Like, it's this whole kind of story where you start out in the indies and you do like a match and the NXT's like interested in you and you come and you have a dark match and they offer you a contract. Like, there's an actual story to it. Like, somebody jumps you in a fucking parking lot and it gets all over the internet and you lose your fucking NXT contract. Like, it's a thought out story mode. Like, I'm actually looking forward to getting back to it. But the thing that really threw me off was that last night I was doing the universe mode. And you know, like from previous games, like basically all that amounts to is me like simulating matches for 20 minutes or whatever. It's not all that enjoyable. So just for ha-has, I let a match simulate and I watched it. And I spent like an hour and 40 minutes watching every match on the Raw and SmackDown. And that's not like one or two shows. That's like four or five shows because the matches are short. And they're really well done. Like they're kind of, you know, like the kind of matches you would see on TV or you would want to see on TV, I should probably say. Like watching a computer do matches became more entertaining than the stuff I watch on TV weekly. Like there was no over the top commentary, like trying to bark me into selling things. Yeah, exactly. There was none of that. Like there was some commentary, but it's very basic. There was no commercials. That's a huge one. And there was no fuckery in the matches. Like they ended clean, all of them. I didn't know what to do with myself. No DQs, no, like maybe a run in or two, but like at the end of the match, like they have like the post-match stuff where the guys get up in each other's faces and there's no dialogue, but you don't care. Like I watched a couple matches and when I saw the outcome, I was like, huh, I didn't expect that. Like the game surprised me more than the actual show. But so that, yeah, that was it this week. Like that really kind of encompassed my entertainment for the week. It was honestly fun. And I know nobody from the, you know, nobody that makes that game is listening to us right now. But if you were, I would say, you know, take this game and go from here. Like forget that other shit in the past and pretend that it never existed. Right. And just start here and then go forward. Because damn if it wasn't fun. Like the next time you come out, I'm gonna put one on so you can see. It's honestly fun. But all right, so that was my long-winded what kept me sane, man. What kept you sane?
I watched The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Cool.
I keep wanting to call it The Diary of Jane. I don't know.
Right, it sounds like it. Yeah, I get what you mean.
It was a really good horror flick. It was created by the same guy who did Troll Hunter,
mm-hmm.
Andre Orvidal.
Yep. Troll Hunter is another favorite of mine, though. I dig that movie a lot.
And did you see he's directing Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
I didn't. No kidding. Toro's
thing. Because I don't know if anyone in our audience remembers that book series, but it was always scary.
Yeah, I actually bought it for my son like two Christmases ago, like the set. Or whatever.
The artwork and it just...
Right, the artwork even creeped me out. Yeah, like, still.
I was also started watching Dragon Ball, which is the precursor to Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
You find it funny how I'm watching the English dub, but the subtitles are hard-encoded, so I see what the original Japanese dialogue was.
Are they like night and day?
Yeah, they've changed so much because... Like the jokes from Japan tend to be about one of the characters' panty fetish.
Okay.
Our character and Goku doesn't understand human anatomy well, so
yeah,
there's a lot of jokes playing off of that. It's just
I guess I could see how they didn't think that was gonna.
Yeah, so they changed a lot for the American audiences. And there was also a lot more penis than I thought there'd be.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. You saw the Dragon Ball.
Pretty much.
That was a terrible joke. I'm sorry.
It's staying in.
I know. Shame.
Hot take. This week's hot take is an interesting one. With the announcement of job growth in December, it's interesting to see where the jobs are. Most are in the healthcare as our population ages. One sector that is growing but is shutting out new hires is the blue-collar jobs, such as electricians, carpenters, plumbers, welders, and any number of jobs considered trades. What is strange is how closed off these jobs can be. You can call it a blue-collar arrogance, maybe? due to decades of children being told to go to college, not the trades. There's a huge gap in these fields. You brought up this topic as you wanted to riff on it this week. So yeah. I'll give you the honors of starting and steering this conversation.
All right. So this week we decided that we were going to talk about what I referred to as blue collar elitism. I don't know how it factors in terms of like real world, but it's certainly something that I've noticed a lot of on social media, which I know is not like necessarily the measuring stick for everything. Like you tend to only see the bad there, but so think about anybody that you know that has ever posted anything along the lines of saying like, I hate millennials because they don't know how to fix plumbing or change tires, or they don't know how to put up fucking drywall, or you know, they can't cut wood. Like that to me is like blue collar elitism. Like you hating on people because they don't know how to do what it is that you do. But here's my question, right? Like now I assume that people that put stuff like that up maybe are in the business, right? Like you would say that that's probably a safe assessment. So, all right. So you're in the business, you're a plumber, you're a carpenter, you're whatever it is that you do. Now, before I say this, I want to expressly say that I find like trade work is important. Like it keeps things going. It keeps everything going. These are important jobs. So saying that, if you're a, let's say a plumber, and you post something or say something along the lines of like, oh, I hate millennials because they don't know how to fucking fix a drain or you know, plumb this or whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. As a business person, as somebody that owns their own plumbing business, isn't that what you want? Like, don't you want an entire generation of people that don't know how to fucking fix anything? Because that makes you necessary. If everybody knew how to fix their drain, you'd just be another fucking guy that knew how to fix a drain. Like they're eliting their self out of, I don't even know how to word it, out of their own necessity. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just goofy. Like they were, like you said in the beginning, they were, you know, I understand that you were handed, you know, the demand that you had to go to college, that there, you know, trade jobs were garbage and, you know, of no use. You needed to go to college and get a degree. And now nobody knows how to fucking do anything because that's exactly what we did. I don't know how to fucking fix anything. I'd love to say that I did. I don't. My dad did. He tried to teach me when I was a kid. I didn't pay attention. Hi, Finny. I didn't pay attention. And because of that, like, I don't know, I'm kind of a dum-dum when it comes to fixing things. Like I can muddle through it, but there's certainly no precision to it. So I don't know. If you were a carpenter, wouldn't you love seeing a guy like me come around? Like, oh, he's gonna need my help with something. I'm gonna make some money. Like, just because you know how to do something doesn't make you any cooler. Like, okay, you can fix a roof, or you know, you can fix a drain, but you can't find shit on the internet without somebody younger helping you.
Right.
You know, it's just it's goofy, and to me, it feels like. Like, I know we say cyberbullying is terrible. That's basically what it is. You're going to say you hate a generation of people because they can't do something you can do. If you're that fucking concerned about it, go out there and teach them. If it's really such a fucking hardship for you that, you know, these kids don't know how to fix anything in their house, take your own time and go out there and teach them how to do it. Or don't take your own time and charge people for it.
Right. It's definitely a thing, a badge of honor for a lot of people where they don't have the book learning. They don't have that kind of stuff that to them, that makes them more of a man, you know? And I there's a lot of, I guess you'd call it microism.
You know, it's funny that you said that, because when I asked you about this topic and you mentioned Mike Rowe, that had never crossed my mind until right then when you said it. And I was like, oh, shit, he's dead on. Like, that's kind of where it all started. Like, I think people that do those kind of jobs should be fucking celebrated and thanked for what they do. Those are hard jobs. Not everybody can do them. But I don't know, they don't make you superior.
Yeah, I see your point, definitely. And it's kind of sad where you see the industry is dying and they're not opening their doors to people coming in, because it's too much of a pride thing. The problem with a lot of the trades is, yeah, you can get the training and stuff, but no one wants an apprentice. No one wants to deal with that. And most of the jobs go to nepotism. You know, so if you don't know people, if you're not networked in,
you need an in.
You're not going to get the job.
It's like an exclusive club that like won't let anybody in, but then publicly yells about how that nobody wants to fucking join.
It takes different people to make the world go round,
right? Like every job is fucking important. Like I saw somebody post something along the lines of like, I've never needed a musician or an actor or actress or politician or but you know, I've always needed like a plumber or some whatever, you know, like those people are more important. Like I get that every job is fucking different and the importance level of that job is like, I don't know, they're all viewed differently. Like, you know, actors and actresses and musicians are important because otherwise the only thing I have to listen to is these people bitch about not no one being able to fix things. Like I need something to break up that kind of monotony. Like every job is important. Yeah, it's important to be able to like pave a driveway or, you know, paint a house or build a fence. Like all those jobs are fucking important and they have their place. But, you know, I rib on them, but politicians are important. You kind of need people like that. You know, you need athletes because you need people to watch and you need people that maybe little kids can, you know, see that they can do some shit like that too, you know?
And people get paid what people are willing to pay them.
Yeah, that's not their fault. If you could make $40 million a year, like making fucking paperclips, I would be the best paperclip maker you could find. Like every job has its importance. That's like, I guess that's my argument. Everything's necessary.
Except fursuit creators.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew you were going to bring that in somewhere.
That's what we call a callback in this business, people.
Callback. Did you do like a little remix thing over it? No, don't do that.
See, a callback kind of segues perfectly into our topic of time. Ooh. There's a method to my madness.
You are getting good at this.
The season. As we grow older, this is a fact I've read on the internet. I don't know if it's a true fact, but it makes sense to me.
Well, and it was on the internet, so I mean, it's got to be true. Can't
dispute it. It wasn't on R of the Donald, so you can't dispute it.
Yeah, that's right.
As we grow older, time seems faster. Everyone will agree with that. Mm-hmm. This is due to the fact that we aren't experiencing new events as much. As a child, time is stretched out because everything we do is a new experience. So I guess that means the secret to life is seeking out new experiences?
Yeah, that's what I would take from that. I think that sounds all right.
As a parent, how has the view of passage of time changed for you?
I would say significantly, like, my son just turned 11 and there was that moment, like I'm looking at him at 11 and like, you know, Facebook is good for bringing up like old pictures and shit like that. So obviously if I post a picture of him from on his birthday, I can see it like subsequent years. So I got all these like little pictures of when he was like, you know, little, and now I look at him and I'm like, fuck, he ain't so little anymore. Like he was, he had wrestling practice last night. So like he was rolling around on the mat and I don't know, he wasn't, fuck, he was bigger than he was like the first time we went there. And that was only like 2 or 3 years ago. So it goes blindingly fast, but at the same time, you don't even realize it. Like, you just kind of blink one day and everything is like just a little bit different than it was the last time you took notice. So, like, you know, my daughter is like going to be 20. If she's not 20 already, like, I'm horrible with this shit. Remembering how old people are and things like that. And I know she's probably listening, so I'm sorry, but seriously, you grew up fucking fast.
We'll edit in the correct age when you figure it out. I find that I regret the time I waste at work, but don't change how I waste it. I know I can be using the downtime to learn a marketable skill, but that's one of those things I just have to work out for myself.
Yeah.
But for such a construct as time, it dictates our lives so thoroughly.
Yeah, you know, you have a specific time that you need to be somewhere, and then you have a specific time that you can, like, it's, yeah. It's as much restrictive as it is freeing.
It's something we can't touch, yeah. Can't see, but we definitely feel it. We definitely experience it. It's just such a weird...
You know it's there, but yeah, it's in no way tangible. Man, we went with the heady topic today, didn't we?
Did you ever look at the back of your hand? And obviously we are obsessed with the future because it's an unknown quantity.
Yeah, everybody wants to know what's going to happen. What's going to happen.
Right. And we strive to make the future. We want the best future possible for ourselves, mm-hmm. our friends, and our families. Of course, I have no patience when it comes to futurism. I want all the good things to come now. I want us to go to Mars.
Patience is...
I want my car self-driving.
Yep. Same here. Patience is overrated sometimes.
I want my pizza rolls done now. I want to bite into them even though they're lava.
Like, you get that, you have to bite the corner off, like the little tip, just enough to let some steam out. And then you got to wait like another 40 minutes for it to cool. And then you would think that the others in the meantime will have cooled. And no, you go and you bite the second one, you bite that fucking thing in half. And that's when the pain starts. And that pain will last you for the rest of your eating experience, which will not slow down because the lure of pizza rolls is a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like Homer with the hot pepper.
Yeah. Just
drink wax.
Yeah, I need to coat my throat in wax just to get the pizza rolls down.
Well, I say, seems we're talking about the future.
Mm.
Let's make some predictions and we'll come back a year from now. And see how correct we were.
Oh, I like that idea. All right.
We'll start off. We're going to have to stick to predictions in our area of expertise.
Yeah, something that we can be like kind of wrong about and it won't really matter.
Right. We won't sound dumb.
Yeah.
So, we'll start off with fun. Biggest video game release of 2019. Now, I want your safe prediction and I want a bold prediction.
Oh, you want two predictions? All right. I don't know. I feel like I only have one thing written.
That's fine.
And I honestly think it could fit in both. What did you say?
I said, that's fine. I'll just do all the work as usual.
That's fine. That's fine. As long as you're okay with it. My safe yet also potentially bold prediction is that the game of the year will be Kingdom Hearts 3. And I say bold. I say safe because obviously whatever it is, you know what it is. So like, but I say bold as in like, it has been so long since there's been an actual game that wasn't some kind of rehash or some stupid fucking puzzle game based around it or something like that. It could be a total shit show. Like it probably won't be, but when you've got that much hype on a game, it could go really bad. Like, you know, what if you get in there and some of your major mechanics in the game are gone?
Hmm. See, I agreed with you for the safe thing. I said Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay, cool.
My take is it'll do enough different that'll have that mainstream cross appeal, much like Persona 5 did.
Yeah.
I think Square Enix has burned too many bridges with being experimental that they'll try to be safe.
Yeah, they need a hit.
I think the storyline for Kingdom Hearts is so crazy and discernible that they will do something to make it bite-sized and easier to eat.
Yeah, for like a casual gamer or somebody just coming in.
Mm. And I think we'll see the fan service for Disney properties and Square Enix fans, but I think it'll be enough of a game that crosses over that it'll actually be very successful.
Yeah. I got my copy on reserve. Mm.
And my bold prediction is that Anthem will suck.
Oh.
That it will bottom out. That it'll be just like another Division or another Fallout 76.
Yep.
It just won't be good.
Huh. You might be right. The backlash on Fallout 76 was huge.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played it, but I know people that have, and I don't. Not a lot of them say anything good.
Doesn't look good to me.
No, it doesn't even look appealing to me. I was so excited when they announced it because I didn't know that it was strictly online, and I just, you know, got all excited for a new Fallout game, and they were like, "Oh, it's strictly online." I was like, "Well." So much for that game. And then, you know, the reviews started coming and I wasn't sad about it. I didn't really especially like Fallout 4. I like the premise either. And I like the location and I like the look of the game, but I thought the story was dumb as fuck. It was just garbage. I didn't finish it. I didn't even finish it because you told me how it ended. You were like, "Well, it's basically just like, you know, three fucking screen cards that tell you what happened." And I just put the game away at that point.
WrestleMania main event.
Okay. All right. So I'll go with my bold choice first because it seems like the easiest one to go with, like, oddly enough. My pick for the bold main event of WrestleMania is Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey.
That's my safe pick.
Huh. All right, then.
What was your safe pick?
My safe pick was Lesnar and Strowman.
Mm-hmm. See, my bold prediction is Roman Reigns returns and takes on Daniel Bryan for the SmackDown Championship.
That is bold. That's really bold, actually. Did you giggle as you wrote that down? Because, like...
My safe was Becky versus Ronda versus Charlotte.
Oh, okay. Okay.
WWE would trust Becky enough to
carry be alone in the main herself. Event. Yeah.
So they want Charlotte there so she doesn't get more irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Especially on the biggest show of the year.
Yeah, you're probably right. Or they could even go so far as doing, like, they could do a four-way. And they could put Asuka in there. And I want to say to all our listeners out there, like, if you've noticed in recent episodes that there's been like an uptick of Mike and I talking about wrestling, it's because it's WrestleMania season. Like, it starts right after Christmas and you got your Royal Rumble in January and then whatever fucking pay-per-views they have in between that and Mania. But your TV usually gets a little bit better, a little more interesting, because WrestleMania is like the period on the end of the sentence, or it's what it's supposed to be. Like, all your big storylines end there. So my interest in wrestling ramps up between those months, and I know yours does too. So for anybody wondering, like, why the fuck are they talking about wrestling again? That's why. Like, as soon as WrestleMania is over, we will probably have one or two more weeks of, you know, we're excited to talk about things, and then we will go right back to not necessarily talking about it at all.
And speaking of that, bold and safe prediction for major wrestling world event.
My safe one was that you were going to get another company this year, or somebody is going to come up that actually kind of goes a little bit higher than, say, like Ring of Honor and TNA or Impact. Mm. I mean, Impact especially, because they're about to go onto a channel that I don't even get. anymore. So it's like an outdoor channel.
I think the person who owns that channel is like, do I get that channel?
Right. Like they don't even get it. So I think, especially now, I feel like I kind of cheated because this is coming off like Cody Rhodes announcing that, he's got that company coming. I feel like that'll give, I don't know, not a run for their money in the business aspect, but a run for their money in terms of like product, right. Like the quality. Yeah.
That was my safe bet too. My safe bet was All Elite Wrestling, which is Cody Rhodes' thing, will get a major network contract.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. I hope so. I mean, they've got like some serious backers, don't they?
Yeah, so if they could get a major contract, you could actually see a little competition.
Yeah, maybe. Which would be nice. Which would be very nice. So what was your bold pick then?
Kenny Omega makes an appearance at Rumble or WrestleMania?
Now, I know you're a big Kenny Omega fan. So are you excited about that prospect or no?
No.
No. Is it,
I would, why?
Is it because they would water him down?
Yeah. I mean, he couldn't. He's too much of a character to
right.
be successful in the WWE.
Yeah, so. That's true.
I mean, I want to see the man get his payday and everything.
Yeah, I like everybody should get one, at least. All right, not everyone, but.
What was your bold?
My bold was Vince McMahon stepping back control of the company, which I feel like, you know, recently, like they all came out and said that they were taking back control. And it seemed a lot to me like the only person that really took any control was Triple H. So maybe, just maybe, they see an upswing in the ratings, the fans are happier, and it's all because Triple H is using his NXT-style booking in the main roster. And I think if those things can happen, I'm not saying they will, I'm saying if they can happen, Vince might be more apt to step back, not leave, but give up a little bit of control.
Now, moving away from wrestling. Now, I would doubly bold on this one because I'm trying to be optimistic.
Okay.
But what positive change is in store for our country?
I only wrote down one, but I almost feel like, again, it can cover both spots. And that is, in 2019, we will have major marijuana reform across like a majority of the country now. Like piggybacking off of New York, which I always felt would be like the big holdout. Like they'd be like the last fucking state to let anybody do anything with it. Apparently I was wrong. Because it seems like that shit's coming. And I think that once It's almost like the surround and fucking conquer, like
wipe the drool from your chin.
That'll be a fun episode, won't it? like your West Coast states are pretty much all on board, right? Mm-hmm. And now you can get all your East Coast states, then you just slowly kind of encroach on the middle. And then eventually they'll just give up because it'll be like one fucking state in the center that doesn't want anybody to have it. And
right.
Nobody will want
to look at there. You, Wyoming.
Yeah. Right. Out of here. One of you Dakotas. I don't know which one, but. So that was my pick. I feel like it's safe because once New York goes, it's like a domino effect, but I feel like it could also be bold because there's a lot of stupid people that make decisions that still have very old ideas about everything involving marijuana.
I went bold for both.
Okay.
The first one is the Democratic-controlled House will force the Senate and President to work so they're more appealing for the 2020 election cycle. Their desire for self-preservation will work out for the country. And my second bold prediction is Cruz's amendment passes and we have limited terms for both houses of Congress.
That would be crazy, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he put that forward. It's like the stopped clock is right twice a day theory.
Exactly.
Like, you look at him and you're like, ugh, you disgusting thing. And then he does something nice and you're like, you're still disgusting. Like, you just have to let, you have to pause before you say it because you feel almost bad. But then you remember that that prick is the Zodiac Killer. And look at that scrubby ass beard he has. What is that? Like, he grows a beard and then he's like, all of a sudden he's like putting term limits on his pals.
He's, it's Ted from the other universe,
right? Yeah. Yeah.
It's we got evil Ted. So this is good Ted.
Yeah. It's just flipped. Like, this time the guy with the mustache is like, you know, evil, or is good rather.
I predict that in 2019, this podcast will triple in size. As in viewership, listenership.
That would be cool. That'd be like, damn, that'd be almost 200 people.
That would be awesome.
I would be totally okay with that. And if you're
200 people to do our bidding.
And if you're out there, 200 people listening back on From a Future Time, thanks. And I hope that some of our predictions came true. And I hope things didn't get worse.
As you're riding in your self-driving car.
Yeah. But you can't breathe because there's no atmosphere anymore. It's a give and take, people. You want your driverless cars, you're going to have to carry an oxygen tank with you wherever you go.
The Elon Musk branded oxygen tank.
Yeah, of course.
With just Jeff Bezos flavoring. Yeah.
Bet that tastes like you ever like smell a dollar bill? I bet that's what Jeff Bezos tastes like. He tastes like a dollar bill. Strip club. Yeah.
And with that, episode 20 comes to a close. That's 20 episodes.
It's crazy. 20 fucking episodes, man.
You've listened to all 20, you get a sticker.
That could be our first Patreon gift.
You have to go to a dollar store and buy yourself a sticker. But when people ask you what that's for, it's for listening to all 20 episodes.
Of how we saw it, even though it's a listening show. So I guess it should have been how you heard it.
All right, that's true. As always, thank you for listening and have a wonderful week.
Later, y'all.